Buddy Biancolana joins us, and that is a familiar name if you're a baseball fan in the Bay Area. He was a shortstop for the Kansas City Royals in 1985, the year they won the World Series. Had his best couple of weeks as a major leaguer during that playoff as he was the starting shortstop for the Royals. But he's a graduate of Redwood High School. He's a Bay Area guy. He, as we, Billy Gastel just called up and mentioned that he had coached him in the winter leagues here along with Dick Hager. But Billy told me a lot of good things about Buddy, but Buddy joins us. Buddy has had an interesting post-baseball career and things to share with us. Buddy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. I'm well, thanks.
Good. Billy Gastel called me and said, hey, you were a heck of a shortstop in the winter league. He liked you.
You know what? I love that winter league. It was fabulous. We used to play down in San Jose and Santa Clara. We used to play a single game on Saturday and a doubleheader on Sunday. Got to play with Dave Steeb and Dave Stewart and even Dave Rigetti.
Oh, very good.
He was one of the players in that league. And I was 18 at the time. And I was on the Dodger team, coached by Billy and Dick Hager. It was great place to be for a young player like myself at the time.
Very good. All right, Buddy Biancolana joins us. Buddy, a little bit of background, and we're going to get to what you do today, which is extremely interesting and very helpful. But Major League career, if you look at the batting average, total hovering around the Mendoza line. But you had a month in 1985 that was just off the charts. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I had a zone experience where, for whatever reason, everything just slowed down for me in the postseason. I felt like I had a lot more time. I wasn't chasing bad pitches, which I was pretty good at doing at the time. I ended up hitting 73 points higher than my career average in the series. I played errorless at shortstop, and every ball was hitting me right in the sweet spot of the glove, and every throw was coming off my fingertips like butter off a hot knife. It was a feeling of not being able to do anything wrong, even if I tried. It was a remarkable experience. And then 18 months later, I was out of the major leagues because I just didn't understand what had happened in my mind that allowed me to experience a game of slowing down and not thinking and with fluid, effortless motion, and the timing was really perfect. And so that's what happened to me, and it kind of set me on a hunt for, you know, exactly what did happen, and more importantly, how do you teach it? And so that's what I'm doing, yeah.
Very good. Now, you were a minor league coach from 97 to 2005, and you've been consulting. You've been working with professional athletes for over 18 years now. But let's get to the point. What did you learn? And we'll apply it. Look, the Giants are going through all sorts of slumps. Brandon Belt, Pence, and everyone's up and down. What did you learn, and how do you convey this to professional athletes? Because I think you're on to something.
Yeah, what I learned was, you know, what happens in the brain when an athlete has his own experience. So if you ask 100 athletes in any sport how they felt when they played their best, they will typically describe their experience in three ways, typically. One, they had more time, they weren't rushing, things slowed down. Two, it was just kind of happening. They really weren't thinking, they were just reacting. And three, the motion was more fluid and effortless. And the timing was better. And so through working with neuroscientists and scientists, we've been able to quantify specifically what happens in the brain when an athlete has that experience. I don't want to get too technical, but basically what's happening is that the signals that we're processing while we're performing, right? We have to send signals to the brain, or we're receiving signals, I should say. And what determines that experience is if those signals are moving directly to a part of the motor system called the cerebellum, which is an athlete's best friend by far. And when that occurs, a lot of wonderful things start to happen in the body, including slowing down time and not thinking and the motion becoming more fluid and effortless. So we've been able to teach that and refine it over many years now, 11 years, and in the last 3 years, I've been conducting a lot of research and studies and collecting a lot of data that substantiates what I've been able to see with my own eyes. And so making good progress. But it's been quite a journey, Marty.
Anytime
you do something that's cutting edge and new, and there's certainly, you know, naysayers that want to say this can't be possible. But, you know, we just keep doing what we do and share the data and talk to people. And it's all working real well. So.
I'm sure you get positive responses from the athletes. You know, as I said earlier when I introduced you, I mean, you're consulting with professional and amateur players and teams, and you've done it for over 18 years. In lay terms, not the scientific terms, take a guy, you know, like a major leaguer, like a Belter, just for example. What would you say, in just lay terms that people can relate to? Then I want you to explain how people get in touch with you, but what would you say in lay terms? Because we have so many people who listen to the show, and they're college players, little league players, everything else. So I want you to connect with them.
Sure. Yeah, great. So it's very easy as an athlete, let's just say a hitter, you mentioned Belt, it's very easy to be very, very relaxed in the batter's box. And then all of a sudden you load, the pitcher begins his windup and you load, and you start to overly anticipate contact, or you start to overly anticipate your swing. And what starts to happen is information starts to get held up in the prefrontal cortex, the intellect, the front part of the brain, and it starts to affect the muscles. The brain is the operating system of the muscles. And so if the brain is not the priority, we're just kind of rolling the dice to as to whether we can put a good swing on the ball. So that's about as simple as I can make it. And so we just, you know, we want to put the processes of the brain as the priority over anything else. And it's not that anything else is not important. It's very, very important. Mechanics are very important. And when the brain's in the right state and the mechanics are based on physics using proper angles, everything works really, really well.
Physical part is important. Let's talk about Pence for a second. And of course, you know, these are just general questions because, you know, he's not a client. And, you know, we're just saying here's an athlete who's been out for a couple of years and comes back and struggles to get it going again. What does that mean?
Well, Hunter Pence is a really, really interesting guy. I don't know him. I would love to spend time with him because, as we all know, he is as unorthodox as any baseball player I think we've ever seen. And yet he's had a lot of success. And up until, I believe, just last year, he's been very, very healthy. He's played a lot of games. But as unorthodox as he is, he has a great mind. You can see he has a very, very powerful mind. He's a very strong guy. He has great presence. He's a great clubhouse guy. Just a great guy to be around, I'm sure. And he's had great success. The body has worked to give him success, even though it's so unorthodox. And the main reason it's so unorthodox is the brain, he just doesn't have the right mind-body connection, doesn't quite understand it. But yet he's been able to have a great career. I almost wrote an article here at the outset of the season saying that I'd be very surprised if Hunter Pence could stay healthy going forward. And because all of that unorthodox motion is a byproduct of the process of the brain not working the way that it's designed to work. So the motion is not smooth. There's a muscle imbalance that he's been able to get away from or get by with. But that muscle imbalance over time is creating a lot of wear and tear on muscles, ligaments, and tendons. So the chance of him staying healthy going forward are extremely slim. And I know he's been out this year already. So, yeah. But a very interesting guy, you know. But a great, great mind, great body. And boy, when he starts to, you know, putting the two together and allowing for all the signals to flow like we know they can flow, boy, he'd be exceptional.
Boy, very interesting. Buddy, how do people get in touch with you if they want to follow up with some of these theories for their children or just athletes in the Bay Area or wherever people are listening to the show?
Sure. Zonetraining.net is my website. Zonetraining.net, or they can email me at Bianc, B-I-A-N-C dot Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at gmail.com.
Great. All right. Perfect. Great to have you on. I'd love to see you at the ballpark. You ever come out?
I do. I love coming out. What an experience, you know.
Come out on a weekend, home weekend, obviously. Come out and stop by the public house for Pat and me, and we'd love to have you on and say hello to you.
Okay, I'll look for you. That'd be great, Marty. Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you on. All right, Buddy Biancolana. He's got his theory, and it's working. And for all the young people that listen and all the athletes that listen, you want to get as much information as you can. And he's dedicated a good part of his life to coming up with this. So very nice to have him on. All right, we'll take a break.